Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about a recent report from staff about Ministry of Health officials delaying a report monitoring mental health services and scrubbing out negative statistics, as well as HPV vaccines, following the sad news that Emergency Management Minister Kitty Allen was diagnosed with stage 3 cervical cancer. But I began by asking the minister how he felt while getting vaccinated for COVID-19 yesterday.
Now, I just want to start about your COVID vaccine jab yesterday. So how was it?
It was remarkably quick and painless. I was there getting all prepped and ready, and before I knew it, the vaccination had been administered, and I didn't feel a thing, so that's good. I did later in the day, I have to say, I was told one of the side effects is you might feel like your muscle is a bit bruised, and you get that for sort of 24 to 36 hours, so I felt that last night. But like, otherwise, it's all been plain sailing.
So that's the, not AstraZeneca, the Pfizer BioNTech,
the Pfizer vaccine.
Right? So you had to get one 2 weeks later?
3 weeks, yes. I'll go back 3 weeks for the second dose. And they say that with the second dose, more people tend to get reactions in the form of, you know, runny nose, might get a bit headachy, the way you do sometimes when you get a flu vaccine that lasts, you know, a couple of days sort of thing, and then but then that's it.
But currently, only around, if I'm correct, 60,000 people only got vaccinated. That's not a really good number, is it?
We're up to, in terms of, about 90 or nearly 100,000 vaccinations have been, or doses have been administered. Of those, I think roughly nearly 20,000 have had two doses. And then, you know, whatever the rest is just one dose. So, we are tracking roughly where we wanted to be. We're about 95% where we wanted to be. We did have a sequence for the rollout of the vaccine. So we started with the border workers and their families. We're now dealing with health workers and other kind of frontline workers, police and others. Then we'll go on to kind of vulnerable populations, and then it'll be everybody else by about sort of June, July. So that is what we sequenced. We did that because we've got to do it on the basis of when the vaccine arrives in this country. They're coming in, you know, cargo loads, so to speak. And we've managed the whole process in terms of getting their vaccinated workforce up and running, getting the vaccination centres up and running. That takes a bit of coordination and effort. And then, so by, as I say, by June, July, we'll be in full swing, aiming to administer 40 to 50,000 vaccinations a day at that point.
Okay. Moving on, but really sad news earlier this week. Emergency Management Minister Kitty Allen. What have you talked to her or anything after the news?
I've given her a message of support. You know, she's somebody I regard as a friend, a good political friend. She's a very good talent. I've seen her before she came into Parliament. She is a very talented young woman, and she's got a great future ahead of her. This is upsetting for all of us and a deep shock. So we are wishing her very well. You know, she's got a really strong fighting spirit, so you know, she's got a good chance.
That's kind of more a political science niche thing, but when Minister Allen is going on medical leave, her portfolios are given temporarily to other ministers. So you were given the workplace relations and safety portfolio after Ian Lees-Galloway resigned right before the election. So what happens behind the scene when a minister is getting a new portfolio on a moment's notice?
The Prime Minister calls you basically and says, look, we've got the situation and we need somebody to provide some cover. For me, it was, you know, from, I think it was about July down to the election, you're offered it, and unless you have got an extremely good reason to say no, you say yes. And then you get introduced to the people in the other minister's office. In this case, I think a lot of the staff in Kerry Allen's office are staying in the office, and the minister's picking up those portfolios. We'll just meet with those staff as they need to provide support for that portfolio.
Okay, but staying on Minister Allen, HPV vaccines that are around cervical cancer, why isn't the government the vaccination rates among Maori and Pacific women are quite low in the past couple of decades. Why hasn't the government tried more to push that up?
Well, I think in terms of the vaccination, we are. There's work going on, and particularly aimed at younger women. That's when the time to get it. I think the issue is the test, the smear test that goes with cervical cancer. The way it is carried out at the moment is, a lot of Māori and Pacific women find it personally difficult because of the intrusive nature of it. There is another form of testing which is easier, and women can do it by themselves. And we're all working to make sure that is available for more women. So that's the challenge that we've got. I think one of the problems is that women having to make a medical appointment to go and get a smear and to do something that's intrusive, it's easier for a lot of women just to put it off. And consequently, for some women who do then get cervical cancer, it's not being picked up until quite late. If we have a different approach to the smear test, then actually we can pick these things up earlier, get a diagnosis earlier, and better treatment results.
Okay. Moving on to my final topic for this week, it's about the report that's monitoring the use of this country's mental health services, as reported by Stuff on Sunday. It was not only overdue for 2 years, we only knew the 2019 statistics on Tuesday, and some of the negative statistics inside the report were slimmed down or either removed. So why did that happen?
So this report has been produced for some time, and it is normally quite late in terms of the period that's been reported on. So, for example, the 2017 report, or the report covering the year of 2017, wasn't produced until December 2018. The 2018 report was being put together. It was kind of ready to go, or roughly ready to go, at the beginning of 2020. When COVID hit, and then the work on it stopped. And by the time they got back to it about July last year, the ministry made the judgment to consolidate both the 2018 and 2019 results. This is a report that deals with, it's a report to deal with actions under the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act. So it's not about all mental health issues, it's just those who are under compulsory treatment orders under that particular act. It has kind of grown in scope, and people dealing with it thought that they'd keep the report focused on that piece of legislation, partly because in the time we've been in government, we've made some changes. We've legislated for the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. They will have reporting responsibilities that will pick up reporting generally on mental health services. We've got the Suicide Prevention Office. They're going to be reporting on suicides. But the data that was in the reports, and including in the one that was released this week, is all data that is collected from other publicly available sources anyway. I know some people are saying there was an attempt to conceal information. Well, there wasn't. All this information is publicly available.
Shouldn't, like, the government or the ministry make it easier for people to get those statistics, because so many important stuff was left out? Suicide statistics, wait times, overall proportion of the population using specialised mental health services were left out. And shouldn't the ministry make it easier for people to know about these numbers?
Yeah, I mean that said, that the kind of the one source of truth on suicides is the chief coroner, who produces a report every August on the previous year's suicide statistics. And that's left, for some months after the end of the year, because the status of a death is dependent often on a ruling by a coroner, whether it's a suicide or whether it's a death by misadventure, or there are different things that can happen there. This report was required to report on what they call Section 132 deaths. Section 132 deaths. These are deaths of people under compulsory treatment orders. Some of those deaths are deaths by natural causes, so they're not all suicides, and some are suicides. That should have been in the report. I've made that point. That should have been in the report, even though that data is reported elsewhere. But all the other information that has appeared in previous reports is gathered from other publicly available reports. So it's not as if this is difficult to obtain data. This is data that is obtained for the purposes of that report from other sources anyway. Some of it is gathered manually, because the ministry's IT systems don't patch into every other DHB system, so there's a lot of manual gathering. But that said, this is all publicly available reporting anyway. There's no kind of omission or concealing of information because it's available through other sources anyway.
But repeating my earlier question, why not gather all of them into one place to make it easier?
Yeah, and I think that point is valid, but I would say this, that this report was only ever about those who are under compulsory treatment orders. It's under that particular piece of legislation, the Mental Health Act. The Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, their job is over the mental health system as a whole, so everything that's happening in the system. So they will start, now that they're in place, they will start reporting on a whole bunch of things across the system as a whole, not just this confined report that came from the Director of Mental Health and Addiction Services out of the ministry.
Well, on the report itself, they say there is a huge growth in the number of mental health patients being secluded as a last resort. Mm. What does it say about our current mental health situation? Is it getting worse?
No, it doesn't. I mean, what they said that in the last couple of years that has increased, and that does, you know, reflect the pressure on the mental health system, although they say that compared to numbers in seclusion 10 years ago, it's nearly half that number. So it has, the trend is down, but in the last couple of years that number increased. And we know that, from the Mental Health and Addiction Review report that came out, Hara Oranga, and it made recommendations about how to change that. And we have a policy of minimising seclusion. We'll never eliminate it altogether, but part of the challenge there is making sure that we have facilities that are safe so that we don't have to resort to seclusion as a device for treating those with acute mental health issues. So that is being addressed through the recommendations in the Heara Oranga report, partly through upgrading and building new facilities.
Right. Some of the documents that staff obtained under the Official Information Act shows that ministry officials wants to delay the report as long as possible because it was not mandatory legally. Now, the Green Party wants to make this audit report mandatory every year. And what do you think about this?
I think that now we have the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, and it's an independent commission. The Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission has to act independently of the ministry and of the government of the day. They have reporting obligations. They are there to monitor and oversee and make recommendations about the totality of our mental health services. And they will do that. They've already demonstrated the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission that operated on an interim basis up till the beginning of this year. They've proven themselves that they can be and are independent. They review what's happening. They make recommendations. They constructive recommendations. Some of them are criticisms. So that will be happening anyway. This report that we're talking about came out of a recommendation from an Auditor General some years ago saying we really ought to have a report about what's happening under this legislation that provides for compulsory assessment and treatment. And that was the origin of that report. Now that we are taking mental health more seriously and putting the infrastructure around it, including the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, we will be getting that reporting, and that will add to the publicly available data that's been collected at the moment.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.